Hello.
Hey, is it what? Holy crap, it does.
Hey.
Oh.
Language.
Oh, man. Oof.
Gotta keep that in line if you want to get views.
Oh, man. Wow. This is actually not a bad recording.
It's
I can hear it perfectly.
It's actually really really better. It's actually better than using the phone app, so.
Yeah.
That's something.
So I don't know how are we going to start this out. It's like, hello, welcome to On Naira's podcast, episode 3, or episode 1, or whatever. And today I have one of my friends here. This is my friend Jude. He is a really intelligent person, and he's really interesting to talk to. Say hi to the people, Jude.
Hey, what's up? Glad to be here.
Good, good. So right now, what me and Jude always do, we always talk about like random things in an hour. So this topic we might talk about is what's going on in the world, our favorite anime, or what's going on in Yu-Gi-Oh! So let's start with, let's talk about anime. So you see any good anime this time?
Actually, I haven't been able to find anything this season.
Oof, me either. The only thing I can think of is Rise of the Shield Hero.
Yeah, well, I read the light novels, so the anime doesn't really appeal to me that much. You know, because they usually skip out a lot of stuff, so, you know, cut content and all that, so it's just not as enjoyable. Though it was the anime that got me into the light novel, so, you know, one way or another. But, you know, lately there just hasn't been anything that really caught my attention, you know?
Yeah, same here. I had to tell this to the audience. Jude's a big, huge fan of light novels. If you don't know what a light novel is, it's basically kind of a short book. And with different type of volumes. It's like a manga, but with words.
Without
lots of words. With words and all that stuff.
I read a lot of stuff, you know. It's not just light novels.
Yeah. What type of books you read?
Oh, you know, all kinds. Anything fantasy, fiction, a little bit of sci-fi.
Nice.
Not so much non-fiction. It's just a little too dry.
A little too dry.
If you want me to learn a lesson, you better wrap it up in a few layers of metaphor.
Yeah, but that's something too. My big like type of things I like to read is kind of nonfiction stuff, and I like a little bit of fantasy. My big favorite fantasy book is got to be the Divine Comedies. I'm a big fan of Dante's Inferno. But that was just me. But nothing about that. If there's any good animes that we actually have we like and stuff, if we can count as like what is all like five favorite animes that we actually like. Start with our guest, Jude.
All right, well, putting me on the spot here. Five favorite. Question, you know, there's a lot in there.
It's like a million of them.
Really sort of thing like to have some time to prepare for, but I mean, overall, I'd say top favorites got to be Naruto, just because, you know, it was a deep part of my childhood growing up and into middle and high school with that. A lot of layered symbolism and complexity, deep ties to mythology, which is always a bonus for me. Anything that ties into mythology, I really love that. Not so much a fan of the sequel. Just not hitting. It's not hitting that same itch. You know, the characters are a little all over the place sometimes.
Yes.
Not quite as stable as I'd like it to be in. It's just moving way too slow in that regard. It reminds me a lot of like Casher and Sins, where it just not much really ever happens. And when something does happen, it doesn't really do anything from that point on. It just kind of, all right, that happened in the past. Let's go.
You're talking about Boruto, am I right?
Yeah.
Yes. When I was introduced to Boruto was in the Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm game, the fourth one. And when I saw the character, it's like, I hate Boruto. I think in this podcast, we should add a, we hate Boruto so much.
I could do like a year long, just every day, a new entire essay on why Boruto just lacks quality compared to Naruto, but most of what it is character investment and just a strong plot, right? Like they're trying to push you around with a lot of, you know, character, kind of just, it's like a slice of life, you know, that's what it is.
It's not supposed to be slice of life. It's supposed to be
a slice of life, but it's not good slice of life.
You know? Also, the main character, Boruto, is just really irritate me as the guy who, this kid is just like so annoying.
Well, that's his character, right? Like his character arc is he's like this spoiled brat and he's supposed to grow up and learn to be more responsible and more intelligent. And, you know, learn to be a proper, you know, he's like the next Sasuke. He's supposed to be the guy who knows what he's doing.
Because right. he's a fanfic character created for like, hey, yeah. I'm the son of Naruto. I have the powers of Hinata and I have all of this
like stuff. All of those characters were introduced in like the final chapter of Naruto, which I think was like chapter 700 something. And then one of the story arcs from the anime was like a 10 chapter continuation tacked on to the end, which even like when I first read that, I was kind of disappointed with the plot line because it just felt off, like really, really off. It didn't resonate with me at all. It wasn't really the direction I thought the characters would end up going. And there's just a lot of things that don't really make sense. And also, anytime you do like a large time skip like that, it just brings up all kinds of issues. What was it? There was another thing that did a large time skip like that. The Star Wars movies did the same thing with Luke, and like even Mark Hamill said, like, this isn't what I really ever thought of my character ending up as. I was fighting it all the time.
I was gonna say this. We don't go down that road with Star Wars and all that stuff.
Same thing where like you could have a character diverge that far from what they were in the last, you know, time that you saw them. But you need to lay a lot of groundwork in order for that to feel believable, right? So if you have like a sudden time skip where like, you know, at the end of Naruto he's like this really strong, powerful, not quite responsible, but like much more responsible than he used to be. You know, his eyes had been kind of opened to the realities of, you know, life as a shinobi and what he was supposed to be doing as he eventually grew into his role as the Hokage.
And
it just is really odd then to see him just kind of forgetting that he has a family, because you would assume that at some point, like, he would, after having his family, then, and apparently having been a really good father by accounts from, you know, Boruto himself, up until he became a Hokage, at which point he suddenly seemed to have
too much stuff in his hand.
His family almost, which, you know, kind of plays into that classic, you know, the father is too busy with work, and their work is important, so they can't be around for the family, which could work with a character who can't split himself into 10,000 separate entities, all of which have
honest. Jude, that really made me hate Boruto himself, saying that Naruto should die because he doesn't care about his dad. The dad doesn't really care about his son. He's too busy for his son and all this other stuff. It's like, bitch, you don't realize lies that Naruto suffered longer than you.
Yeah, well, that was literally his character arc. Boruto's character arc was him realizing all the shit that his dad had gone through, which, honestly, like, every textbook, I would think, in the village, every history book should have, like, a detailed account of that or rumors. Like, you should have grown up hearing stories about what he, you know, his father had done.
But they kind of forget about that.
But it's
also in the future,
like,
now
writers kind of skipped over the fact that, like, you can't just tell your own story with characters, because the characters have their own story that they're going to conform to, and if you break too far outside of, you know, what those characters are and how they work, you're going to lose a lot of people.
Exactly.
Especially, you're going to lose all the people who don't buy into that direction.
Exactly.
Like, I can't understand why Naruto, you know, is so busy. First of all, like, I mean, yeah, he is supposedly the busiest Hokage's ever been because all this yada yada with peace treaties and whatever. And also, it's been, like, 15, 20 years since the end of Naruto? So why is it only at this point, like, we're 1.5 Hokages beyond, you know, the end of the Great Ninja War? So why is it only now that we're getting into peace treaties?
Why? I think, did they forget about we faced the goddess of chakra, Madara, together.
When, like, the leaders of all the major shinobi nations, like, got together and fought with each other against Madara and became really close comrades and started trusting each other with their lives.
Not only that,
even, like, then you could, like, you know,
they also fought their loved ones, their friends. Loved ones, former leaders, the seven greatest ninja swordsmen, everybody. I think it's like everybody doesn't need it. I think you don't need peace treaties. I think we should all be together as one. Peace treaties, Naruto.
You know, some people bring up, oh, but the feudal lords, you know, they don't get along. To which reply, when they were captured, or, you know, not captured, but when they were, you know, held by all of the shinobi, protected by the one, I think it was the Mizukage was the one protecting them all.
Yeah.
And, you know, they started getting along better too. So the feudal lords shouldn't really be in too much conflict with each other after the war. And if they were, the just sheer force of the Kage being able to convince them that it's fine, you know.
It just shows you. I feel like this episode is going to be called Why Naruto is Good and Boruto Sucks. Because the whole point of Naruto is this really great, huge-ass underdog story. And it's one
Orin, please. That title is not nearly clickbait enough. You have to do something like, oh, why Boruto is the absolute worst thing ever written ever.
Or there's this segment we call it Boruto is shit to you.
Critics claim even worse than Godzilla movie.
Oh god,
I apparently is fantastic. Fuck you, critics.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care what people said about the Godzilla movie. I'm happy to hear freaking the form of Sano's System of the Down singing the Godzilla song, and hearing that theme. And it's probably my first time seeing a Godzilla movie in theaters. And hearing that song, Go, Go, Godzilla, it's possibly the best thing in the world. I was just like, I really hate, as like, here's a spoilers about the new Godzilla movie, because I've seen the movie. Let's just say, let's destroy the world with all these monsters, including with Monster Zero, aka Ghidorah. King Ghidorah is evil. Evil. I like no one knows about that. Use all this, by the way, in just start over the new world by killing everybody with these monsters. With this machine called the Orca. And Godzilla also fights Ghidorah in the end of the movie, in the cuts, in the credits, Godzilla versus King Kong, the rematch.
Classic. There's a lot of critics, so it's all over the internet. Everyone who's been online has seen that. Critics are like, oh, there's not enough people and human drama and whatever, and other people are like, yeah, but it's the movie isn't trying to be that, which because of the absence of those elements in such a large quantity, that the movie is clearly about the spectacle
and monsters fighting monsters,
the legacy of the genre, and it's just trying to be that. It's just trying to be classic monsters fighting.
Yep.
And the plot is only insofar as to serve that end. I haven't seen it yet. But I would also imagine that, the plot isn't just put in place specifically for the end result of making monsters fight, but hopefully is a bit more organic.
It is.
Is always appreciated. Other things like Pacific Rim kind of fell short on that regard.
I mean, even Japan actually wanted Pacific Rim versus Godzilla. But another thing about these movies, that it's actually a universe. It started with Godzilla, then Kong and Skull Island. And then in this one, they stay in Kong, Godzilla, King Ghidorah, Rodan, Mothra, and there's like 17 other monsters as well too. And they're saying that they're supposed to be called the original gods and all that stuff. And besides, they don't call them kaijus. They're actually called titans. I just call them giant ass monsters. Except King Kong. King Kong is a gorilla, just giant animal.
Yeah. Well, anyway. About Boruto, it just, when I started reading that sort of the manga for it, it just did not make any sense to me why they're doing the peace treaty thing now instead of at some point in the last 15 years, or how, I don't even know how many years it was been. I think it was 15, might have been more or less, I don't know. Tsunade should have started laying the groundwork for that, and she would have retired to be replaced with Kakashi, and he would have then continued that effort. And really, Naruto should have inherited a world that was much,
peaceful,
more closer knit, which kind of that whole idea of the modern skyscraper skyline on top of the Hidden Leaf Village, at the end of Naruto, you can see that, beautiful modern skyscrapers all over the place sort of thing, and everything is modernized now, because now that the ninja are no longer in conflict, technology has grown and society has moved forward.
Also, we help people that doesn't know how to use jutsus.
There should be a lot more of, the country should already have kind of merged into more of I wouldn't say a continent-wide government, because that's almost too far in such a short amount of time.
It's like the United States.
It definitely should be more of a council-type governance.
Was it originally supposed to be like that with the Five Kage Summit or something?
I don't know, but those things should definitely have been hosted annually.
how many years it happened. It just happens when, like, something bad happens.
It
like,
used to be, like, a really rare thing that only happened, like, when someone called for one to occur. This was always, like, a really dangerous thing. It always had to be held in the samurai, the land of iron, or whatever it was, because they were the only neutral party.
Yeah, that shows us there's a samurai in this world.
But
there were ronins and samurais in this world. That's
samurai, and they all use chakra.
That's...
They don't use jutsu. They just use raw chakra.
So, that doesn't... So, why? Why did you use raw chakra? Does it use... That's why they do that ultimate slash... The slash technique when they do this.
Yeah, well, basically, like, they only use, like, physical chakra transformation instead of elemental transformations. Or yin-yang releases none of that stuff. It's, like, just physical transformation.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know why that...
Can they walk
on water? Why they decided how samurai worked. It was always a little weird to me because we know that jutsu are really powerful. And, like, yeah, physical transformations can also be really powerful. But, like, they're clearly not the strongest.
Yeah.
That can exist. So you'd think that just... the Land of Iron wouldn't be able to maintain independence but I don't bother questioning it because it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it's not so what do you expect? It's one of the big three.
It just felt a little odd to me, but that was it, you know. But there were just a lot of things about the world building for Boruto that just didn't feel like they had been properly explained. I mean, if they sound like, you know, oh, there were movements of shinobi inside of, you know, various nations who were opposed to the five great nations coming together.
Yeah.
The minor nations were opposed to it because they knew, you know, it could have some effect, but then that conflicts with the whole thing with Pain and the Hidden Rain, the Land of Rain or whatever it was, because you know, they want the wars to come to an end because they just tear apart their nations. So, you know, the world building for Boruto just didn't feel
right,
organic from
right
Naruto.
But it just shows that it's just like you should end just Naruto there. Instead of just making it as kid, it just showed the people.
It was perfect with just like the kind of snapshot of the next generation. And even that was like almost too much in some places and not enough in others. You know, because like they showed a lot of things that like some people were like, oh yeah, I really like that's how that ended up. And then other people were just kind of like not so much with some things. So, you know, it's always difficult to end such a long running series. Any series in general is difficult to end, but especially one that's so long, has such a diverse
fan base
of so many different ideas about what they want for each of the characters. Even just having Naruto end up with Hinata pissed off a lot of people. And then having
Sakura
just not be fucking destroyed because everyone hates her, apparently. Apparently that pissed people off.
Wait.
Sasuke not being murdered pissed other people off. And Sasuke not being hailed as a hero pissed other people off. So, like, no matter what you do, you're going to piss off somebody. Because it's not a unified... You know, the fan base isn't unified in what they want for everything.
No, how about Black Zetsu, it was like his whole character is basically like, I want to revive my dead mother because I started the whole shit between both all the ninja wars and all this other stuff. The thing happened because of me.
I didn't quite like that. Like, I thought that kind of ruined it because instead of, you know, the wars existing,
Jude, can you still hear me? Jude, Wow, I think he got cut off. I think we will be right back. We'll be right back after these messages.
And I'm back.
Now we're back. Sorry, we just cut off in that moment. And I don't know what happened to your end.
Neither do I.
All right, let's continue on.
I was saying something, realized I wasn't recording anymore. So,
yeah.
Technical difficulties happen.
Yep. Yes. It. So let's continue on that long series that it's hard to end.
Where'd I cut out at?
I think you cut off when after we talked about Black Zetsu or something.
Right. So I didn't like the storyline with it, you know, being like this hand in the shadows controlling all the nations into war sort of thing, because it kind of negated the previous establishment of wars being very complex result of, you know, differences in ideology, differences in culture, the need for competing resources, power struggles, the inability to trust other people with power. Yeah. And that, you know, that kind of was like how the series had been up till then. Jesus, this is like half cooked.
How did they ruin this? Would come up with that idea. It's like it should just end it with just Madara. Madara Uchiha was the ultimate bad guy in that series.
Yeah, you know, and like taking the series away from the complexities of war and then turning that into, you know, there's a singular entity pushing the world into that direction. And if you can get rid of them, you can create peace. It kind of undermines the reality of it, which is that, you know, two groups that have nothing against each other could still end up in conflict for, you know, no more reason than just they need to.
True.
You know, for whatever reason. It could be because, you know, the people they care about are in conflict. It could be, you know, that there's a limited resource, and for them to save, you know, the people they care about, they just have to claim that resource.
It's, I don't know. That's just shows you that they just forget about. And nope, we just ended off with just Black Zetsu just saying, yeah, I could show everything. You didn't have freedom of will and all that stuff. Just want to revive my mother. And ended off like that. And oh, wait, that's not the best ending about it. After they done fighting the mother of all chakra, literally just by God, Sasuke goes up and say, guess what? I have this new power. I'm just going to continue destroying the village. Just talk about Sasuke, by the way. Can we talk about how Sasuke is even second worst to Boruto? That his whole character shtick is so bad.
I never thought that Sasuke, of all people, would become an absentee father.
He's the worst.
The child grew up. Knowing, you know, the difficulty of not having your father there when you needed him.
Yep. Your brother. It's funny. This is Sasuke's whole character. Sasuke's whole character is like this. I want to go avenge my brother because he murdered my clan and village. Then he found out his brother. I want to murder Danzo because he made my brother kill my village. Now he killed Danzo. I want to murder all the Leafville village because Danzo made him do it. Slash he made me kill my brother and all this other stuff. And then he has power. I'm going to still attack Leaf Village and start a war and do all this. Well, and why does no one kill them?
I mean, Sasuke's character arc was more, oh, I'm living in the shadow of my exceptional brother and my family doesn't pay any attention to me.
Come from.
And
so
the father that he cared so much about, you know, trying to get the approval of, was murdered by his brother who he had both lived in the shadow of and loved more than anyone else.
True.
Which also, you know, he was actually driven insane at that point.
Sasuke insane.
Because Itachi utilized I believe it was he utilized genjutsu to repeatedly show him Prince and everyone dying over and over and over again. To really drive it into his psyche and like break him down so that like Itachi would become this monolithic I need to destroy you sort of thing. And then from then on, you know, he was only driven by the desire to improve himself and his combat ability so that he could then, you know, kill Itachi due to that sort of irrational, you know, desire for revenge and that Itachi implanted in him.
Yeah, Danny,
that's also part of the
reason. I really don't like this pizza.
Thanks. And that's part of the reason why, like, he hated Naruto so much was because he kind of sensed a little bit of himself in Naruto. Because they were both, you know, alone, they had no family, no one to care about them.
But tragic. One of them gets all the puss, the other one doesn't. That's remember
that style. Like, imagine if Sasuke didn't look fucking cool as shit, right? Imagine if he looked, you know, like some pasty faced fucking pimple all over.
Sort he of is a pasty face.
And, you know, if he was like that, if he was like some fucked up weirdo looking shit instead of, you know, being the epitome of Japanese style, then like no one would really look twice at him. And he'd be like a joke character.
They like Sasuke because all those girls listen to a lot of Fall Out Boy, and they want to find out that they want to get love and that goth chick, that emo kid.
They're all like fake emo 14-year-old sort of shit. You know, it's you know, typical teenager, whatever.
Well, they're all 13 and 12 and 13, right?
I don't even care.
Yeah, that is them all. It's like, and then like, then follow the whole Naruto and Sasuke thing. Even though they kiss each other, that's hands down the most funniest thing. We all know this relationship. In every ending, I think it was every arc. There was like three arcs every time. You know, it's going to be ending of something. There's always going to be Naruto versus Sasuke. Naruto versus Sasuke. Now there's no Sasuke with have the curse mark in the evil form. Naruto versus Sasuke when Sasuke left the village for 3 years. I don't know why, to get better.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about Sasuke's character arc was when he came to Team 7, he had started to move away from his, you know, need for revenge due to Naruto's influence on him when they were fighting against Zabuza and Haku.
The best fighting part.
Alongside Naruto and becoming comrades helped to, you know, it kind of alleviated his loneliness because he finally had, you know, someone who he could rely on, both, you know, both in combat and emotionally. He had someone who he could turn to when he needed help, which you kind of get to understand when he sacrificed himself to save Naruto when they were fighting Haku.
Ooh.
You know, that was like his big moment where he basically gave up on revenge in order to save Naruto. And then what happened soon after was Itachi returned to the Hidden Leaf Village for, you know, his own reasons to threaten Danzo and yada yada.
Yeah. Danzo was the biggest asshole in Naruto.
That reignited Sasuke's need for revenge to an all-time high. And, you know, that was also further spurred on by the curse mark Orochimaru left, which has an effect of heightening emotional states.
Wait.
Altering them.
Wait. Does Naruto still... No, Sasuke still has that curse mark on him 3 years ago, right? After Shippuden. Does he still have it? Or he just removed it?
I think he got removed in his fight against Itachi, right?
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Against Naruto.
Orochimaru put like a little bit of his life force into all of his curse marks. It's like a final last ditch reservoir technique. And that's why Itachi, even though he was dying during the fight, was so hell-bent on driving Sasuke to his limits before he kicked the bucket. So he could pull out the last scrap of Orochimaru's will, and you know, then he sealed it away in his gourd.
Yeah. That was the
specifically gotten that gourd just to do that. To remove Orochimaru from Sasuke. Which at that point I believe he was completely freed of his curse mark. Because I don't believe we ever saw it again after that point.
Well, don't worry, we have eye magic. Don't worry, we have...
I don't really like how much he did with the Sharingan. It started out really simple and it was a cool thing. And they started just throwing more stuff on there faster than they could develop it. But like instead of developing anything to the next level, they just threw another power onto the Sharingan and used that instead. And it was...
Yeah. At least it's not like the only person that can actually beat somebody with the Sharingan is Rock Lee. He's the only one from like all that old group that Rock Lee can take down somebody with the Sharingan.
And they had to like retroactively make Zabuza stronger in order to deal with the power creep.
Power creep. Because Zabuza's, I have years of experience, and I was like, I'm a ninja with a giant ass Buster Sword. I can kill somebody with this thing. Also, I am voiced by Steve Motherflicking Bloom.
Like he really isn't that strong when you just compare him objectively to a lot of the other opponents in, you know, the mid to late steps of Naruto. Doesn't seem as strong. So they had to retroactively make his hidden mist jutsu like way stronger than it had been sort of previously in order to make, you know, they're like, oh, that's why he was so strong, is because, you know, just Shinobi couldn't detect him at all. So that it was just like a completely one-sided fight with him.
Also, is it because like also Zabuza plays a huge role in Naruto's life of the most dangerous mission that he went to?
Yeah, I mean, that was his first mission. That was when his eyes were opened to the truth of the ninja world.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it. Kakashi literally just straight up told Zabuza that like you were, you know, the impetus for him developing his Nindo.
Yep. Or it was going to be that. It was that, or the death of the best character in Naruto, Jiraiya. Rest in peace, Jiraiya.
Bruh.
He's my pervy sage. Also, it was because of him we introduced another thing that Naruto had. Let's say, let's just talk about how powerful Naruto is against each. That one death battle between Naruto and Ichigo. I knew Naruto was going to win because he's like, if he doesn't have his chakra, he has his chakra, he has the Nine Tails chakra, and also he can take not chakra from nature. Hmm. Nature's chakra as well, too. So he has sage mode. So he had these three things, and what does Ichigo have? What Ichigo has? I'm a hollow. I'm a soul reaper. I'm this and that. It's like, also I have a giant sword and I can use Bankai. No, what else? Who was that? Luffy. What does Luffy has? I have the will of the D.
Luffy's like the fucking weakest of all of them, objectively speaking. Like they had to fuck with physics just to make him stronger.
Well, it's the Grand Line. The physics already been fucked
by apparently electromagnetic forces can then alter just how physics work.
Let's just say One Piece is the Japanese version of Yellow Submarine.
I was just about to say, like, One Piece is just anime on acid.
Yeah. The fruit gives you fruit gives you powers and they don't make you swim. Dragon Ball itself. To be honest, I love Dragon Ball because of Beerus. The God of Destruction's hands down the best thing ever. The best villain of all time in Dragon Ball, Beerus. Not from Super, Battle of the Gods. That's hands down the best character. And anyone who disagrees with that, fight me. Beerus is stronger than Frieza.
You know, I never... I haven't watched Dragon Ball, like, at all, outside of, like, just catching the odd episode here and there when I was growing up. Which I, you know, I really enjoyed watching it. I just have never bothered to go back and rewatch it, and I haven't watched Super at all because I just didn't have that level of investment.
Super,
I'll tell you this: when I was working at my job, I had to train some high school kid. He was like a cousin of one of my coworkers. And one of the things he asked me is like, oh, do you watch anime? I'm like, yeah, I do. All the time. Like, wow, you ever watch Dragon Ball Super? No, I don't. Oh, you should. It's fantastic. I won't, but, you know, it's good to know. So, apparently, you know, it's good. I've never, you know, it's never called to me. It's the same thing with a lot of things. Like, I'm told Gintama's really good, but I tried watching it, and I just didn't really connect to it. Same with JoJo's Bizarre Adventures. It never caught me.
You think this is a normal podcast, but it's two random guys talk about random shit. But if it's us, randoms, you think. But JoJo will die, but the memes will last forever.
See, I love JoJo memes, right? And I can pick out most of them because there's really only a few different types of JoJo memes.
My favorite one's always the "Oh my god" meme or "Oh shit" meme. Yeah,
and it's the art style is distinctive enough, like even when just like an anime references it, you can pick it out. You don't even need to know what it, you know, what scene it's referencing. Just the change in art style, you immediately know that's a JoJo's reference right there.
I like it how the JoJo became this huge thing. It's a book that came, a manga that came around from the 80s, and then it became famous. All from a guy that loves freaking music. Rocky is just a guy who loves music. But here's another segue we can get into. Let's talk about what's a good thing we talk about. Komatsuba. And what's your opinions on that? That's a silence of eating and loving.
Yeah, well, this is my dinner right now. So
I just ate dinner as well, too, when you were talking, by the way.
Yeah, they got my little brother some garlic pizza from someplace, and he just... Well, I mean, first of all, he came right into my room and offered me a slice, which was really nice of him. And then he had a slice himself and just came right back and gave me the rest. He just didn't like it at all.
Man, this is going to be...
It's not that great. It's a little cold, a little soft crusted.
Off the wall, they tried.
The sauce is decent, but the garlic is all crumped up and places not spread out evenly. It's like C quality pizza.
C quality. It's funny that now we're talking about pizza after we talked about whole, I don't know how many minutes we talked about Naruto and all that stuff and Big Three. But now we're going to talk.
I can talk about Naruto for months on end. No stopping.
You have an essay of how it's like, who's the best character in Naruto? Like, who are the best girls?
You can hand me, like, almost any topic in Naruto, and I can write a video essay right there, on the spot.
But you could say any light novels. like I'm still asking about the whole Konosuba thing. What's your
fantastic?
The light novel, is the light novel good?
You know, I don't know if I ever read the light novels.
But you've seen the anime.
I did watch the anime. Anime's fantastic.
You've seen the dub? Did you know there's a dub of this, that anime?
I have seen a few episodes of the dub. They were pretty good.
I have to say it's better. I can handle Aqua in English. She's so worthless. But I think if I gotta pick any favorite moments in Konosuba, it's gotta be anything thing had to be done with the freaking Dullahan shows up in town and asking who keeps destroying my damn castle. And they look at Mega Beam, and she did it again.
Well, you know, the thing about Konosuba, it's like it's one of my favorite kind of comedies. Because all of the humor is like derived from the characters and the world and how it all interacts, and it just ties everything together so beautifully because things happen, and when they happen, you know exactly what's going on and what's gonna, you know, happen because of that, because you know the characters so well. Because they keep everyone so consistently characterized throughout everything. You're never lost on, you know, oh, how's Darkness going to react to this thing?
Yep.
You know, the one thing where Darkness was being, their carriage, whatever they were traveling with, was being attacked by some monsters that attacked the hardest thing they can find in order to train themselves or whatever it was.
He was talking.
And he goes over there. It's like, Darkness, your armor. And she's just like, I know. And then she just fucking stands there waiting for them to hit her. I know. Like, as soon as you hear that, you know, oh, they're attracted to her armor before they even have to say anything. You know that's what it is. And you know that her response is going to be, you know, just standing there waiting for it to happen because she's a fucking masochist pervert.
Oh my God. Yes. I forgot about Darkness is so hilarious and masochist. Mega Beam, why she can't learn other spells like healing spells? No, explosion. She's a little terrorist. Explosion. And Aqua is
hilarious. And
Aqua is funny.
It's the kind of humor that can only happen when there's like no stakes involved. Because like as soon as someone dies because of their, you know, nonsense, it pulls the humor out. Which is why I'm glad that they don't let people die.
They almost died in the beginning of season 2.
Yeah, well, a lot of people almost die, but no one actually dies. Property is damaged, but never lives. And that's the thing. It's like that kind of comedy only works when there's no, you know, real stakes involved with the results of their just fucking up so badly.
Always fucking up so badly. That's why hands down the funniest type of comedy. I think my favorite comedy is basically like something going on. And they kind of blame the other person and they gave that face. I think that fake is the one meme I think is the Konosuba face. If somebody does something bad, they give them that face, like the face. You know, the smile and the chubby cheeks going like this. And I always like if something bad happened, I think there was a moment in the show that Mega Mean does the move back and hurts something stupid and crazy. I think when they first time meeting Darkness, just see Mega Mean like move back like she's what's wrong with this girl.
Yeah, you know, I just love Konosuba so much. I just want more of it all the time, always. It's hands down like my favorite comedy.
Right next to
my favorite comedy anime ever.
Yep, right next to High School DxD. And
DxD has a lot more going to it than comedy. The English dub, it's really more focused on humor. If you watch the sub, the dialogue is a lot different. And if you, like me, read the light novel before anime was popular enough that any American company would dare to touch something like High School DxD with a 10-foot pole, You know, there's like way more to it than that.
In high school, same.
I think like I actually, that. Maybe they're getting licensed in America. I don't know for sure. It'd be great if it was, even though we'll have another Sword Art Online situation where they just take so many years to license up to the latest stuff.
Yeah, but you know, there's one series I wanted to continue so bad, but the manga guy, the guy who created the manga, is dead. But I think I wish we can actually continue this, is High School of the Dead.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That definitely needs to come back.
One of the, like, best zombie apocalypse manga, like, I've ever seen. Because, you know, it's a comedy, and it's about... Oh, no,
it's not just a comedy. It actually shows...
No, it's a comedy, it's a drama,
it's yeah.
A little bit of insightful commentary into human nature.
I mean, but that's why it's not the best part of it.
At its heart, you know, it's like a... It's a dramedy, you know? A dramatic comedy.
Yeah.
Drama happens, but it's mostly there to make you laugh. And then sometimes it's there to make you frustrated. And, you know, there's a lot to it, and that's why it's so appealing, because it's not just one tone. You know, it's not just one flavor all the way through. There's variety in there. And that's the same thing that gives, you know, the really long-running shows their staying power. You know, especially you can see it with One Piece.
Yes.
You know, watching that, like, one episode, you're bawling your eyes out. The next episode, you're laughing harder than you've laughed in months. It just keeps up that energy all the way through, constantly changing the tone all over the place.
Yeah, you got me.
I don't like filler in One Piece is because it interferes with the careful balance of that, but whatever.
One Piece does the best fill. I think every filler they add is actually makes the character relatable and stuff. I think the one of my...
They have good filler, just...
Yeah.
It interferes with the tone, and it delays characterization to an unnatural degree. I've gone on about why I don't like filler in One Piece. Not that I don't like the filler, it's just that I don't like it being where it is or how it is.
I think that's one of the...
I enjoy it, and I would prefer just to you know, have it all flagged as filler so I can skip it and watch it a different time.
Except there's only, I will say, one episode that felt like it is a filler episode, but it's a really good character-driven episode. The one when Brooke was on the ship on the ship trying to do something, and he does like all these random stuff, and he's trying to think about something, and he's like, "I don't want to be bored," and all this, and he was talking to Robin. It was probably one of my favorite episodes because
the best filler is filler that's based around an understanding of the characters.
Yep.
You know, like, you don't have to create a whole other storyline, insert it in there, and, you know, do all kinds of nonsense, only to have that storyline end up never being referenced again in the entire series, which is just so disappointing, especially if there's, like, some filler that you really enjoyed, and then it just never comes up ever again. And you're just kind of like waiting for it to come up, and they never mention it, and you're just kind of left like, why is that not? Like, they'll bring up other things that happened in the past, but not this.
Yeah, Film Z, that's hands down one of my favorite piece of One Piece. It's like hands down one of my favorite films of One Piece, because I love the character of Zed. Zed is like this formal general, this high-ranking member of the Marines, and his whole story, it was so great. I think there's one thing I think One Piece does really good, it's some of the villains. The villains of One Piece are interesting characters. And it makes you sympathize with them why they became bad guys. Like I said, Zed became a bad guy because, one, his family got killed, and he has his Marines. And when his Marines got killed by the same person that joined up the, seven warlords, he became a bad guy and started his Neo-Marines. He's more dangerous because he knows every single secret of the Marines. And they didn't kill him off because he's so dangerous. He has hockey. He has an arm that is made out of sea prison stones. His crew is basically good. He was playing the game of Dynasty Warriors. You know, when Luffy is like, I don't care about Zed. I don't care about your backstory. All I want is my freaking hat. And that's Luffy in the movie. And the Marines are like, and it was actually got me one of my favorite Marines. It's got to be, what's his name? The Ice Marine. The formal Ice Emerald.
Aokiji?
Yeah, Aokiji. Hands down, he has probably one of my favorite quotes. And I think it's one of the best life quotes. The thing you call justice changes shapes depends on where you stand. And it's probably one of my favorite quotes.
There was actually a really cool thing that was very similar to that in High School DD. One of the characters basically commented that, you know, your so-called peace that you're trying to establish could be, you know, torture for other people. You know, that, you know, in your effort to forcibly create peace throughout the world, that's actually going to force other people to swallow grudges and prevent them from expressing themselves in, you know, the way they go. And that's because, you know, Vali's character is that he just wants to, like, fight.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, he should be in Dragon Ball, but...
For all things,
sort of, I just want to beat the shit out of strong people to test myself.
Yeah, I tell you, like,
I just want to fuck all day.
Yeah, and my favorite thing is, but except with all those people that say Goku could beat Superman because he wants to face somebody that is stronger than him, and guess what? Superman is still stronger than him, no matter what ands or buts.
Depends on which Superman you're talking about, because he's been buffed and nerfed all over the place, depending on who's writing for him. Really,
yeah.
Whether Superman can win or not comes down to who does the author favor at that particular time.
True. But you know why I always say why Superman's powerful? Because there's one thing I always say. We don't know how strong Superman is. Doesn't matter what the writer is, but they always follow the concept in what happened in 86. In 86, and I'm giving you a little history, people. In 86, that's where the modern Superman was created. The different colors of the sun, and they gave him his normal power. So he can't just use heat vision every single time, because heat vision actually lowers his solar radiation. And they explain how did he has his powers, because Krypton was in a red sun. And then when he's on Earth, he's been on Earth for like 35, 39 years. And that's why he got to develop his powers. And he's a guy. He's not just a god among men. This is a guy who's trying to be human. And that's why I say, I don't care what people say. Superman's not a really interesting character. I think people should just
disagree. You know, everyone who says that, I disagree. Superman is a very interesting character for the same reason, you know, that Saitama is a really interesting character. Exactly. Or that, like, any Shonen protagonist is an interesting character. It's not almost any Shonen protagonist anyway.
I don't think Goku interesting because Goku is dumb.
You know, it's I don't like about him. You know, can they win? Can they save the day? Yada yada yada. It's much more about seeing how people react to their power. You know, like Lex Luthor being, you know, like the main villain to Superman, that's interesting because their dynamic is very often built around the foundation of Lex Luthor being afraid of Superman. He's afraid of how strong he is and what he could do to him if he wanted to. And that's why he's trying to take Superman down.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows that he'll never be able to achieve, like, any of his, you know, world-dominating goals while Superman is alive.
Exactly. It's just all of Superman ends up saying, it's like, oh, I guess the whole thing with Batman v Superman, the Batman and Superman debate, is saying, if you just take time, it's like, if you take time for both of the characters, Batman's not a good person. Even Batman said this, saying, Clark is a better man than I am.
The more I grow up, the more I realize that Batman is a fucking loser asshole.
Yeah, I found that out in Injustice 2. I blame Batman for all the events in Injustice. So, why? Because so one
shit.
Yeah. Basically, Batman should have cared about his best friend.
I mean, you know, if Batman wants to clean up Gotham, he can do that way better as Bruce Wayne. Like, yeah. Just donate billions of dollars to the GCPD.
Yep.
That would solve so many more issues, because it's just like the Superman thing. He can't be everywhere at once. But you know who can be in a lot more places at once?
Bruce.
A massive army of police.
A massive army of people that can actually... That's what the Justice League was for. Because Justice League is basically everyone should be helping for. It's like, oh, well, we are not massive police. That's why there's other superheroes.
Justice League doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It's only there when the Justice League needs to be all together.
Yeah.
Or like an event thing. You're never just like fighting some difficult villain and then they like just call up the Justice League to take care of it instantly, which is what would really happen in real life. You know, Superman's fighting Lex Luthor and he does some shit, he would just call up literally any number of a handful of people who could resolve the situation within like 2 minutes.
Yeah, I'm gonna say let's call Booster Gold.
If you know, it's the, like the classic situation of, oh, Lois Lane is over here, and a school bus full of children is falling off a building over here. What are you gonna do?
Shit!
Call the Flash. He can be here in like a couple of seconds.
Hell, Green Arrow, Green Lantern. Which one? All of them.
Of problems that could be resolved by just calling up other people. Of course, that, you know, that wouldn't be as interesting.
No.
And that's why I don't like the idea of like superhero mega teams, is because it logically forces the world to be in a state where groups of heroes have to fight against groups of villains just for anything to make sense.
Oh. Why do I have team ups?
You know, like villains should be working together all the time.
Well,
because they have to, because any one of them working on their own should get their ass handed to them almost immediately.
But here's the problem.
Circumstances.
Yeah, but Jude, here's a problem about that. They want to work together, but remember, who's the one that they don't want to work together with? Because they know when things get screwed up because of him, it's because I'm talking about the Joker here. Because Joker, no matter who, what, when, why, if you want to build a team, no matter if he's part of your team, he's going to do his own shit. And then it's like, that's not part of the plan. And then he will betray not you. He was going to betray not just the team, but he's also going to betray you.
Yeah, and if you leave the Joker out, then he's just going to get pissed off and undermine you.
I was like, no, I don't trust you. And even in, what was it? I was switched this in Mortal Kombat versus DC. After they were fighting, like there's a moment. Oh, you were there, man?
Yeah.
In a moment, there's a moment in that game. It's hands down one of my favorite moments in all in video games. Joker, after they find this teleportation device, freaking Joker comes out. It's like, we need to get Deathstroke. He's teaming up with Deathstroke. And he said, Deathstroke, like, we need to get this to Lex Luthor. Joker. It's like, the hell with Baldi. And it's like, Deathstroke's like, why are you doing this? Joker's like, there's two things that Lex Luthor didn't tell told you, I don't care what happens to the world, and I don't play well with others. It's like, yeah, why do you want to team up with Joker? Also, Joker is a little bit powerful because the whole world is in a conscious flux. Like, it's in, like, it's, like, so unbalanced.
Joker is powerful because the author wants Joker to be powerful.
No, also because in the writer's saying, it just doesn't make Joker powerful. It makes the weak, like, the people that are good at fighting or not good at fighting, it makes the people that are not good at fighting, like Joker, good. And it makes, like, something like Shang Tsung for Mortal Kombat, okay. And it shows that, and all because of the two worlds emerging into one. And that's when I was like,
crazy stuff all over.
That's one of my favorites.
But
yeah, you all tired out? I think we should. You think we should end it here?
I mean, we've talked about a lot of stuff of no particular
order, reason.
Think
we should end this?
I mean, we can end that one now and start a different conversation.
Yeah, I think we should. Maybe next week about, I think every, I was starting planning doing podcasts every Thursday and Friday.
By the way, have you... I'm sure you haven't, but have you played Sekiro Shadows Die Twice?
No. Maybe we should talk about next time. We had 41 minutes of this.
I know. I'm just going to ask you right now.
I should play it.
Do you have a computer?
No, I don't have a computer. I have a phone. And I have a PlayStation and an Xbox.
That's a shame. If you had a computer, I could give you my Steam login.
That's horrible. I think we should end it off right there.
Well, I think. How about this? Because there's an interesting conversation I'd like to have about Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. Ties in a lot to do with video games, video game journalism, difficult video games.
Is it because that game is so super hard they want it to have an easy mode?
Here's the thing. It's not a difficult game, and that's what I'd like to talk about next time.
Okay. I think next week or tomorrow or maybe
tomorrow.
What's doing on tomorrow? So, in the next episode, we just finished part two of this conversation with Jude. Maybe tomorrow we're going for part three. See you later, people. Bye.